It's a well of pure water when I'm thirsty and dry, bread when I'm hungry and worn. When the battle is raging, it's my faithful sword, a shelter from life's troubled storms.
It's a light to my path when a lamp to my feet,
when the world is so dark you can't see.
And I've had made no change in one word that it says,
but it sure made a change in me. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin.
When I think what it costs just to hold in my hand, it reminds me that I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who'd go to the stake and quote it with their dying breath. Now its critics are many and believers are few, but this one thing I've found to be true.
If you find when you read it that there's something wrong with you. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand.
It was a good song, good song. I remember seeing pictures on slide presentations from missionaries when they went to Russia and other places where the book was not allowed, and the people would get a copy. Even kiss it. Don't see American Christians doing that too much. But I wanted to when they were singing that song. I just wanted to hold it. Where would I be without that book right there? Be a rudderless life. Amen. Thank you for the good song. Wonderful. I like having the Bible. I like a song that's got a little punch to it. If you find something, if you find something wrong when you read it, there's something wrong with you. I don't even have to preach, man. That's it. I was a little disappointed Belinda didn't have a Bible, though, over there, but holding one up. But anyway, wonderful song. All right. This is the seventh Sunday in the new year, and we're in Genesis chapter 1. For the seventh time. Now, if you know about numbers in the Bible, number 7 is the number of... We're done today. We're done. All right? With Genesis chapter 1, I can't promise we won't be back in Genesis next week. No. You know what I remember this week? I was thinking, my gracious sakes. September the 8th last year, everything in our world just was uprooted with the accident Mom was in down in Georgia, and the 40 days in the hospital and all that stuff. I was preaching through the commandments of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 on Sunday morning, and I never finished. So I thought, man, I should go back and finish that. But for some reason, after I got back, my mind was everywhere else. And so we make it over to 1 Thessalonians because there is another book in the Bible besides Genesis, okay? And I know that. But, man, it just flew all over me the opening day of this year, and I just want to preach one more time out of Genesis 1. Let's stand together if you're able. If you're able, if you're not, that's fine. But I'm reading beginning in verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. Amen. That's the seventh word that follows "and God" in this chapter. And God blessed. Let's pray. Father, help us today. I could do nothing without You. Jesus, You told us in John, well, it's in the book of John for us, You told us that without Me You can do nothing. I believe that. I know that. I need You. Help me today. Bless the listeners. May we all hear the sweet voice of the Spirit of God speaking to us in power, in Jesus' name. And amen. Thank you and be seated. So if you're here today, either for the first time or just joining us on Sunday morning, and God, those two words, used 28 times in the first chapter of our Bible, and God, 28 times. And the chapter that describes the six literal days of creation. And people, once again, just for the sake of saying it, God is the only one qualified to speak intelligently about creation because nobody else was there but Him. And He cannot lie. So if there had been evolution, He would have told us. But He didn't tell us that. He tell us that He made it. And during those 6 days of those six literal days of creation, we find out in chapter 1, and God said, and God saw, and God divided, and God called, and God made, and God set. And then we come to chapter 1, verse number 22 and 28, actually, and we read where, and God blessed. God blessed. Now, in verse number 26, you see, we'll get back to it again in a little bit, but in verse 26, you see where God made man in His image after His likeness. And I want you to see that the plural words are used. God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Who is He speaking of? He is speaking of God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. All three involved in the great work of creation there. And you see it, okay? And then, of course, He made man, body, soul, and spirit. The man that was made, the man that was made in two distinct and different genders. And they're distinct in their DNA. I don't care what your identification is. Your DNA identifies you as male or female. And there is no in-between. And there is no switching it at all. We've lost our minds. Lost our minds. Two different genders, both created by God in the image of God, after God's likeness. And after God made them male and female, He blessed. Now, the word blessed is a common word in the Christian vocabulary. It's used differently in the Bible. It can even be pronounced slightly different. For instance, in Psalm chapter 1, we read, blessed is the man. We don't read, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. But we wouldn't read, blessed here. We would read in verse number 28, and God blessed them. And you know that the same word in the English language can have different meanings if it's used as a noun or a verb. Right? For instance, the word bark, when it's used as a noun, is that which grows on a tree. But the word bark, when it's used as a verb, is what the dog does. Or what your husband does first thing in the morning when he wakes up. Okay? It's the same English word. It's spelt the same. B-A-R-K. But one has a different meaning as a noun than it does as a verb. And the same thing is true about the word blessed or blessed. When it's used as a noun, it means happy. That's why when you read in Psalm 1, blessed is the man, happy is the man. Okay? And then when it's used as a verb, like it is here in Genesis chapter 1, and God blessed them, it has a different meaning. It doesn't mean that in chapter 1, verse 28, the word blessed or blessed doesn't necessarily mean happy. It does mean abundant. It does mean congratulate. It means praise. It means salute. And stick with me now. Think with me, because we're going to go somewhere. It means to kneel. Look it up. Look it up in a dictionary, okay? It's a very interesting word. And it's interesting in that God blessed male and female, man, to both give and receive. To both give and to receive. To kneel and to be knelt to. And that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. I'm going to elaborate on the definition of that word blessed in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 28. And we see it here in the context because the best dictionary on the Bible is the Bible. So when you look at a word, you try to figure out, okay, what does this mean? You don't have to always run to books written by men. You can just read the book that God wrote and read the context of it, and you get kind of a clearer picture of what the word means. Now, let's start here with God blessing man in the sense of being on the receiving end. So God blessed Adam and Eve, man, male and female, on the receiving end. You say, okay, explain that. Okay, we do that by looking at verse number 26. You'll see in verse number 26 one word repeating over and over again, and that is the word over. Let them have dominion over and over and over and over and over. In fact, it's used, I think, 8 times in 2 different verses here in Genesis chapter 1. The word over. Now, people, God gave man dominion. That's what it says in verse number 26. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over cattle and over, wait a minute, all the earth and over everything that creepeth upon the earth. So you got the first several days of creation, and God is making light, and God is making heavenly bodies, and God is separating the firmament and the heaven. And then you come to this day, these couple days of creation, 5 and 6, and you got God dealing with the earth. And everything on the earth and everything about the earth, He put under the dominion of man. That word dominion means sovereign. It means supreme authority. It means power of governing. What God was saying here was, fish, you kneel to man. Fowl, you kneel to man. Cattle, you kneel to man. Earth, you kneel to man. Every creeping thing upon the earth, you kneel to man. Why? Because God made man sovereign over all of those things. God made man the supreme authority over all the earth. Now, I spoke earlier, the opening after that opening song, about how important truth is to us. We don't even realize it. Do you understand how horribly mixed up the world has become as it increases with wisdom that's friendly to man as opposed to wisdom that is friendly to God? By the way, time out. That little word philosophy, it just means simply wisdom that's fond of. And Paul warned us about philosophy of men. Wisdom that is fond of man. What's he talking about? Wisdom that man just dreams up. Just sits around and kind of creates. He talked to us about being careful. Be sure that your wisdom is fond of Christ. Be sure that your philosophy is fond of Christ. That's what's important about Bible preaching. If it's done right, it tells people what about wisdom that is fond of God. Fond of Christ. Wisdom that is fond of man tells us that we are subordinate to the earth. That we have a responsibility to Mother Earth. Where'd that come from? I'm going to tell you where it didn't come from. It didn't come from this book. So if it didn't come from this book, where'd it come from? It came from the dreams of man. It came from things that people without God, without the truth of God, sat around and dreamed up and called truth. And we should treat the earth and the fowl and the fish and the beasts as if they were sovereign, as if they were the supreme authority, as if all of them, the earth, the fowls, the fish, the beast, are on equal footing with mankind. And some people, folks, it's not even equal footing. Check out the idols that are created in some heathen countries. You got birds, they got beasts, and man bows down to those. That is 180 degrees opposite what God's book is telling us here. And all of this terminology from Mother Earth and global warming and Green Deal garbage, that's the basis for all of that is that mankind is just another one of all that God created. That's not what He said. Not what He said. It's 180 degrees opposite of what the Bible teaches. Wisdom that is friendly to God says that man was blessed by God to have dominion, to have authority, to have sovereignty over all the other creatures on, in, and above the earth and the earth itself. God gave that to mankind. Now, let me pause, come aside. Can man abuse his authority? Yes. But it's not God's fault. Not God's fault. Man only abuses his authority because of sin's curse. Mankind can abuse animals. I make no apology for being a hunter. But a man that just goes out and shoots to kill is abusing animal kingdom. You fish to eat, or put it on the wall, I guess, you still eat it. You hunt for food. Okay? And there's nothing wrong with that. Make no fuck, mankind can abuse his dominion over animals. Mankind, I saw just a little something this week where somebody had taken a dog and duct taped its legs together, front legs together, duct taped its back legs together, duct taped its mouth together, and threw it off on the side of the road in the cold. Now that's perverted. You may not love dogs, but you don't have to treat them that way. Man can abuse animals. Man can abuse birds. Man can abuse fish. Man can abuse the earth itself. But that's because of sin. Sin has tainted man's ability to have dominion correctly. But folks, man still has dominion. Because that's what God gave to man. And God hasn't taken that away from man. You see it further in verse number 29. Look at verse number 29 here. And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree into which is the fruit of a tree, yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat." So God created the fruits of the tree and the plants of the earth, the fruits and the vegetables. God created all of those for us to enjoy. You ever stop to consider all the different varieties of fruits and vegetables that are grown in this world? I mean, God gave us okra. How can you not like that? It's God's gift to us. And it's so versatile. You can fry it. You can deep fry it. What you folks up here in North Country call fried okra is not fried okra. Fried okra is when you get a black iron skillet and you cut it in small pieces and you bread it. You roll it in some, cornmeal, Mom? Cornmeal. And you fry it in that skillet till it's crispy. Yeah, you can bread it and throw it in the deep fryer, Cracker Barrel. But don't call it fried okra. You can boil it. Easiest way in the world to eat it. All you got to do is put it on the back of your tongue. And it's gone. Now, we ought to have people at the altar this morning asking God's forgiveness for not enjoying okra, God's gift. Eggplant. For some of you Midwesterners, the only vegetable you're aware of is a potato or a corn cob. And a salt shaker. And you're happy. Man. I mean, they're turnip greens. How can you not like God's gift to mankind? Turnip green. How can you not like that? What an offense to God that you won't eat His turnip greens that He gave us. I mean, you like the root. You boil and eat the root and throw the tops away. That's the best part. But anyway, I'm having a little fun this morning. Hey, can I tell you something, church? There's no guilt in eating anything that God gave us to enjoy on this earth in the way of fruits and vegetables. There's no guilt. Now, hear me. There's no guilt in employing the ox to pull the plow. I don't want to treat the poor cow. Excuse me. Man has dominion over the cow. No guilt in using the horse for transportation. Oh, man, get on their backs and break their wheels until you can throw a saddle on them and ride them somewhere. No guilt in that. No guilt in that. Now, common thinking, what's conventional wisdom out there, wants you to feel guilty. What are you doing, man? Throwing a horse, a saddle on that horse's back and using it for your own good? Yep. The chicken? No guilt in eating the eggs that the chicken laid. No guilt in cutting the tree down and burning it up in the stove. No guilt in that. But what about the owl? He'll find another tree. Believe me. We've had owls outside our house. I love it. I love it when they're doing what they do in the morning. What do you call that? Hooting? Hoot owl. Or screeching? Screech out. And they've gone. Where'd they go? I didn't cut the tree down. They went to another tree somewhere. So there's no guilt. I remember being out in Montana. Babe, you remember when I went to Montana? Where are you? Remember when I went to Montana? Did you go with me out there? No. I went to Montana just to survey the state. And Brother Gene Blackburn, some of you remember Brother Gene from Rock of Ages Prison Ministry, took me around. He was pastoring out there. And I saw logging truck after logging truck after logging truck after logging truck sitting empty. And the owners and the drivers of those trucks were unemployed. I said, what is this? He said, it's called the spotted owl. And then, the closer we got to Canada, we saw the trucks coming out of Canada loaded with lumber. So we're spending money buying their lumber because of the owl. But if you're of the persuasion that that's right, you bought into the foolishness of this world. Well, you're a narrow-minded. I'm a narrow-minded Bible believer. God gave man dominion over. And in case anybody had a hard time understanding the word over, He used it 8 times. And He didn't miss anything. Birds, fish, cows, horses, dogs, cats, everything. Amen. You wonder what they're teaching out there. I said, Mother Earth. I will tell you something. God blessed man. God blessed him. He was given a position that was over all of those things. All of those other things that were earthbound, if you will, those things were to kneel to man's will. Man does not have to seek permission to butcher the cow and eat his meat. And I get tickled at these people that freak out over eating a steak, but they sure do love their fish. I know. Putting a hook in his mouth and ripping him out of the water. That's gentle. Hello. You don't have to get permission to catch a fish out of the water and eat it. You have to get permission to cut a tree. If somebody else owns a tree, maybe you ought to ask them if it's on their property before you cut it down. But there's no guilt in that. I stoked the stove this week. I didn't feel a twinge of guilt. I felt the BTUs and it felt good. Didn't bother me in the least. Not a bit. Why? Because God gave man dominion.
Amen.
You know what it boils down to, folks? It boils down to whether you believe the Bible or some philosophy that man dreamed up. And that's part of some of y'all's problem. You got more respect for the philosophy of men than you have for words written down in His book. That's pitiful. That's pitiful. God blessed them. Gave them dominion over all that was upon the earth. Told them to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Conquer it. That's what He gave them. And that's the context of the word blessed. So God blessed man in the sense that man was to be knelt to. Man was to receive, in a sense, man was to receive worship from the earth. Men don't worship dogs. Dogs worship men. Are we together? You ought to be up here and look out at faces. It's amazing. You got to be kidding me. Now, we enjoy that part of it. But let's do the other part. God blessed man in the sense of not only receiving, but He blessed man in the sense of giving, of kneeling to. Because although man was given dominion over all that was upon the earth, he doesn't have to kneel to birds, he doesn't have to kneel to fish, to cattle, to the things that are on the earth. Man was given a position of supreme authority over all of those things, but man does have responsibility to kneel to the one in whose likeness he was made. He has a responsibility to kneel to the one in whose image man was made. God made Adam. God made Eve. And He blessed them by putting them in a position of sovereignty, in supreme authority. And the earth, man receives adoration and man receives praise and man receives this and that. But fellow man, don't forget that even though you are the crown jewel of creation, you are my creation. You may not owe anything to any bird, fowl, fish, tree, but you owe everything to me. Everything to me. Everything to me. You are made in our image. You are made after our likeness. Man, and I'm saying men and women, male and female, God made man. Male and female, two distinct genders. Man, you are made in God's image. You are not an animal. You are not a plant. And when you die, you will not come back as a plant or an animal. Because you're not one. You're not a higher animal form. You are not a higher plant form. You are not a heavenly body, such as the moon, the sun, and the stars. You are man. Every one of you. You and you and me. We are man, made in the image of God. Created after a divine pattern, not just an earthly pattern. You take away the animal's body and the animal is gone. Done. Vamoos. Over. Finished. You take away man's body. And he still lives. And he lives. And he lives. And he lives. And he lives because man is the only of God's creation, made in His image, body, soul, and spirit, with a soul that is eternal, that lives on and on in the image of God, more than just physical. It's in the eternal image of God, in the sense that man lives forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. God's made in God's likeness to rule, yes. Made in God's likeness to have dominion. Man, you were made in our image. You were made after our likeness. You are the highest of all the creation, but don't forget, there is one who made you. You may rule the fish, but you don't rule your life. You may rule the life of the dog, but you don't rule your life. You may rule the life of the bird, but you don't rule your life. You may rule the life of the fruits and vegetables that I've given you to enjoy, but you don't rule your life. There's one higher who made you. The everlasting God from everlasting past to everlasting future. And God has blessed man to acknowledge that to have a position on earth above all others. So we acknowledge your position and have dominion over all that is created. But don't forget to be in subjection to the Creator. Enjoy the creation and exalt the Creator. Now folks, sit for a minute, let that think. Let that sink in. There is no creation of God on this earth that we are subject to. We are in a position to receive adoration. But we are too quick to forget that we're in a position to give it. And we don't give it to the birds and the fowl, the fish and the cattle and Mother Earth. We give it to the one in whose image we were made. Oh, the pride of man. Oh, the selfishness of man to rightly enjoy the position of dominion, to rightly enjoy the position of being knelt to, but then to refuse to kneel. Refuse or not ever think about kneeling to the one who made us? To exercise dominion over all that is subject to us, but never kneel in submission to the one who is still above us? And He blessed us by putting us in a position that goes both ways. The earth and all the things on it are subject to us, and we are subject to Him. And that takes all the folks, that takes all. I mean, about, you know, I just look to God for, God, where am I going to go when I leave this earth? Well, son, I sent my son Jesus to die for you, was buried, and rose again so that you could be saved. Trust Him, and you'll live eternally with me in heaven. Okay, Lord. Okay, now that I'm saved, what do you want me to do? Well, I want you to get back. Okay, Lord, I'll get baptized, join a church. Okay, I'll do that. Live for me. Okay, Lord, I'll do that. Marry this woman or marry this man. Okay, God, I'll do that. It takes all the guesswork out of it. I just submit to Him. I kneel to Him. You know, we would never even think of asking permission of a squash to eat it. Oh, squash. Squash. Equal footing with me. We all came from Mother Earth. Can I please dice you up and eat you today, Squash? We would never seek permission from a dog to use him as a retriever. Fido, would you please go get my newspaper? Fido, please. You know what man does? Man eats the squash and commands the dog. And we don't feel a bit guilty. If you do, we don't feel a bit guilty. But how many of us stopped this morning as we started our day to acknowledge the One who made us? You're going to go home in a few minutes. That's a relative term. You're going to go home in a few minutes and sit down to eat your dinner, Sunday dinner. And you're not going to feel a bit bad about it. In fact, you're going to enjoy it. And all those things God gave you to enjoy. Amen. But have you... How many decisions have we made this week? I'm not talking about the food we eat. I'm not talking about pets we command. I'm talking about our life. How many of us have made decisions this week about our time, our talent, our treasure, without even thinking there's someone I am subject to? Oh, we rule the cats and the dogs and the birds and the fish, and we rule our lives too. And God says, no. You rule the cats and the birds and the dogs and the fish and the trees. And let me rule you. And that's how He blessed us. That's how He blessed us. Let me give you a chilling thought. The Antichrist is the sum of all that sinful man really wants and desires. Sinful man. The Antichrist is the sum of it. It's the sum of all sinful man really wants and desires. And you know what the Bible says about the Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians 2:4? This is what it says about him. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And look in your Bible when you get home. That's not a little G. That's a capital G. You know what the Antichrist is all about? I am God. I am God. That's an awful thing. That's the Antichrist. How about the Christian who lives every day of their life with no thought of his Creator and makes decisions without ever looking in His book or asking His will? Maybe that's why John said the spirit of Antichrist has been in the world for a long time. The spirit of Antichrist may be sitting in this room. Oh, yeah, I'm no devil. Oh, you're not saying you're a devil. I'm just saying you rule your life. You rule the cats and the dogs and the fish and the birds. You have them for lunch today. Because you rule your life too. And God said, no, sir. I've blessed you. I've blessed you this way. You rule over what I've given you. And don't you forget that I rule over you. We're blessed. We're blessed. We have dominion over all that's here. And then in all the big matters of life, we just simply get to say, what do you want? What do you want? How do you want me to live? Blessed. And God blessed. Remember last week's message, and I'm done. On "And God set." And God set Lucifer in that place that was closest to the throne of God. And Lucifer was not content to stay in his place where God set him. And he became the devil. God has set us in a position of supreme authority, sovereignty over all this earth, but under Him. Are you content? Are you content to let Him rule your life? You young people, are you content to let God rule your life? Couples, young couples, are you content to let God rule your life? Middle-aged people, seniors. And we had a great time last night. I looked at Joyce and I said, "Babe, you realize we're the oldest couple on the bus. Where are the Thomason and the Griffins when you need them?" You know? We're the oldest people here. Hey, senior saints, you willing for God to rule your life? Oh, we say we are. For how many of us does He? We don't change a thing. We hear stuff on Sunday. We go home. We live the same old way week in, week out. We don't change a thing until, "Oh yeah, I live under God's rule." No, we don't. If you find something's wrong when you read it, there's something wrong with you. I'm just preaching what they sang. It's their fault. And God bless. Hey, you know what, Christian? Find your place. Enjoy all that God gave you to enjoy. But just don't forget to exalt Him in your life. Amen. Be under His rule. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for the privilege to look in Your Word this morning. Speak to our hearts. And Lord, may the practicality of this, may it bear down on us now as we think about invitation time and Your Spirit speaking to us. Because, Lord, I would imagine many of us in this room, we have a rough time with this matter of letting You rule. We don't mind ruling, but we have a tough time with letting You rule. Would You help us, oh God? Would You help us to just enjoy the place of blessing that You've given us, the place of sovereignty, and yet the place of submission? And make sure that we have those in the proper place. Bless our people this morning. Help us all, God. May the Spirit of God cause us to look inward, not down the pew or on somebody. Help us to look inward this morning and see our lives. Are we content to let You rule and call the shots in our life and be in this subjection? Speak to our hearts as only You can this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Was there something that was said this morning by way of God's book that said, you know, the Spirit of God said right there, that's it right there. You're having difficulty with God ruling in your life. And you know it. In that area, you're having trouble. Pastor, pray for me. The Spirit of God slipped by my pew this morning on this matter. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand in the air wherever you're sitting today? God bless you. I appreciate that. I appreciate it. Somebody else. I see other hands slipping up. God bless you. Thank you. Take your hand down. Somebody else. I got a problem with God ruling in this part of my life. Somebody else. Are you saved? Are you sure you're going to heaven when you die? God gave us the way. It's through the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son, Jesus. What if somebody here this morning would say, "Pastor, I don't know where I'm even going when I die. I don't know if I'm going to heaven or hell or where. Pray for me." Would you slip your hand up this morning wherever you're sitting? Anybody like that today? I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm saved. If you're here today, you've been saved but never baptized, I would encourage you to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Obey Him. Let Him rule in that area of your life. Submit to Him. Kneel to His authority. In church, if the Spirit of God spoke to you about something in your life that you know you're having a tough time yielding to the rule of God in that area, let me encourage you to begin this morning by humbling yourself and just admitting it. It may not be fixed here, but the fix could be started here. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies are playing a song of invitation. You obey the Lord this morning. Let Him have His way in your life, even in this invitation time where God has spoken. You step out and obey this morning. While we wait, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Having trouble with God ruling in a certain area of your life? While we wait today, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. What a place of blessing God has put us in to enjoy dominion and sovereignty over the earth. And yet, when it comes to the difficult things in life, how to live, how to enjoy a marriage, how to do this or that, He put us in a place of subjection. All you got to do is yield to Me. I know the best for you. While we wait this morning, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Some have come to pray, probably not as many as maybe should, but that's between you and God. And if there's an area of your life where you know you're resisting the rule of God, this is what I'm talking about today. Ask the Lord to help you with it while we wait. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you, ladies. Father in heaven, I pray that You'll help us today take this truth home by the Spirit of God. When we, this week, resist Your rule in our lives, may the Spirit of God remind us of the place of blessing that God has put us in. The place of ruling over the earth, but the place of letting You rule over us. What a blessed thing that is. Thank You for blessing us in that way. And Lord God, help us, I pray this week, not to forget it. In Jesus' name, amen.